Yeah, 7 o'clock. We've got to get going. Okay, well, good evening, everyone, and welcome. Boy, I hope this is not all for public comment. We'll be here all night. No. Good. No, I know you're here for our police and fire, so this is going to be exciting. I'm going to ask the village clerk to take the roll call, please.
Trustee Bochner.
Here.
Trustee Gillis.
Do you have to, like, do you have to somehow,
yeah, so.
Yeah.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Johnson.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yep. So we need a motion to allow Lisa to attend telephonically due to work obligation.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Okay, very good.
Trustee Bochner.
Here.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Okay. Welcome, Lisa. All right. So now I'd ask everyone to stand and to say the Pledge of Allegiance with us.
The flag of the United States of America, the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So we have some great special presentations tonight. So I guess I'd ask the chief, Chief Gardner, to step to the podium and appoint our deputy fire.
Yeah, so it's a pretty exciting day for the River Forest Fire Department. We've got a couple of promotions today and also a new hire who just started his career here at River Forest. So we're excited, and without further ado, John and Dave, I believe it's your wife.
And if you're a family member, feel free to come up and take pictures. That's quite all right. We want you to.
This will be. Repeat after me.
Hi, David Bohannock. Having been appointed to the office of Deputy Fire Chief in the village of River Forest in the county of Cook, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Illinois, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of Deputy Fire Chief to the best of my ability. Congratulations.
Very good. Congratulations.
I know, exactly.
Okay, next we have Quentin Boyd being promoted to the rank of lieutenant.
Repeat after me. I, Quentin Boyd.
I, Quentin Boyd.
Having been appointed to the office of fire lieutenant in the village of River Forest
in the village of River Forest
in the county of Cook,
in the county of,
do solemnly swear
or affirm
that I will support the Constitution of the United States
and
the Constitution of the State of Illinois That I will faithfully discharge duties of the office of fire lieutenant to the best of my ability. Congratulations.
Thank you. Great.
And last but not least, we have our new firefighter, Timothy Kyles.
I, Tim Kyles. Having been appointed to the office of firefighter paramedic in the village of River Forest in the county of Cook, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Illinois, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of firefighter paramedic to the best of my ability. Congratulations.
Great. Thank you, Chief Garner, and congratulations to all of our appointments. Now up next is, I'll ask Chief O'Shea to please take the podium.
Before we have the clerk step up and give the oath of office, let's find our patrol commander. Patrol commander. Step forward, please. A couple of things about Mike as we get started here. Michael Swierczynski started his career in law enforcement with River Forest December 16, 2004, after serving with the U.S. Army. He has held the positions of patrol officer and patrol sergeant, and he was promoted to sergeant in 2015. Michael has also received training as a juvenile officer, range instructor, rapid deployment instructor, and oversaw our field training program, which many of some of the younger officers that are here tonight in the back went through, and they're still with us. So what does that say? Mike attended Northwestern University School of Police Staff and Command in 2019. We are very happy and excited to having worked with the village board, the village administrator, in the promotion of Mike Zinski to the position of patrol commander. I ask the village clerk to step up and administer the oath of office.
I'm Michael Swierczynski. Having been appointed to the office of police patrol commander in the village of River Forest in the county of Cook, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Illinois, that I will faithfully discharge the duties of office of police patrol commander to the best of my ability. Congratulations. Yeah.
The pinning of the star will be done by Mike's wife, Melissa. And also in attendance tonight, his daughters, Natalie and Sophia, and sons, William and Matthew.
Oh.
Congratulations.
Yeah, very good.
Tonight, we're also here before the board to celebrate and honor the police department's officer of the year for 2022. This individual may look familiar because he appeared before you last year and received the same award. So it's really great to see him up here again. And this is where these officers are vote for this individual. And let's give him a little background before we call him up for his award. John Hennigan was named Officer of the Year 2022. He's also here tonight with his mother, Carol, father, Kevin, and they're in the back row there, and Kevin's girlfriend, Kathy. She waved her hand. Sean grew up in and still lives in Chicago. He attended Notre Dame Prep in Niles, where he wrestled all 4 years and played football. John was a state qualifier in wrestling his senior year and was named All-Conference in his senior year for football. Sean attended Iowa State University in Ames, Iowa, and graduated in 3.5 years with a bachelor's degree in criminal justice and sociology. After testing and applying to different police departments, Sean was hired by the River Forest Police Department in January of 2018. The Officer of the Year Committee met on April 3rd of this year. The nominations this year were for Officer Sean Hennigan and Officer Megan Drake. I'm honored to announce that Officer Sean Hennigan has been named Officer of the Year for 2022. And as I mentioned earlier, he was also Officer of the Year in 2021. The nomination described Officer Hennigan as a self-motivated and that he consistently demonstrated superior performance. Officer Hennigan made numerous noteworthy arrests during the year. Officer Hennigan always came to work with a positive attitude and serves the village of River Forest with distinction. Officer Hennigan was described as a mentor to newer officers and showed a commitment to teamwork by consistently aiding his fellow officers in the field. Officer Hennigan was described as demonstrating good leadership, demeanor, and integrity, which makes him a reliable asset to not only the department, but the community as a whole. Officer Drake, who was the runner-up this year, represented a department down in Springfield for the Law Enforcement Officer Memorial, which was held about a week and a half ago. And once again, we'd like to call up John Hennigan, Officer of the Year 2022. Congratulations. John, would you ask your family to step up here for some photos?
I think that concludes all of our promotions and appointments, and I'd like to say thank you to all the family members that are here on their behalf, on behalf of the Village Board of Trustees, myself, and the administration. thank you for everything you do day in and day out for our community to keep it safe throughout the year. So thank you. So we're going to move on to citizen comments. So if the family members and everyone wants to leave, we'll give you a second to leave.
Yeah.
And who's on the water?
I'm okay. Thank you. Doubling up there. Like it's gonna be a long night. Yes, exactly.
Ah, how cool is that? Great. Oh, taking coffee. Are they even taking coffee? All right, this is more like it. All right, so we have a few folks that have signed up to speak on the consent agenda item. So I'm gonna go ahead and call the speakers now. So the first one, if there's anybody that wants to sign in for citizens comment and you didn't, just let me raise your hand. The first one is Mindy.
Good evening. I'm here tonight to ask you to revise the consent agenda J, flag like raising. I embrace every person I know in the LGBTQ plus community and welcome forging new relationships as opportunities present themselves. It's a good thing in my mind and heart our village recognizes the LGBTQ plus Pride Month, Jewish American Heritage Month, Older Americans Month, Asian American and Pacific Island Heritage Month, Bike Month, Compost Week, etc., etc. However, I take exception for any social consciousness flag to be flown with our American flag. If the VBOT Village Board of Trustees feels compelled to fly a social consciousness flag, I would suggest we procure another flagpole, and I volunteer, along with my friend and fellow resident, Doug Luce, to raise private money to do so. If the Village Board of Trustees is still inclined to fly the Pride flag, I strongly recommend that the village stick with the rainbow flag as written in the resolution. In communications that I've received, the rainbow flag is being replaced by the progress flag in the village flag raising on June 1st. While the progress flag is gaining traction, the rainbow flag is the only flag that is universally embraced by the LGBTQ plus community and its allies. Thank you for your civil consideration.
Andy? Yes, yep. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Carol?
I'd much prefer a lengthy open discussion over coffee, but there's this issue that you're voting on that concerns me, so I'll make my statement. I am requesting that you vote no on the plan to fly the progress flag under the American flag at the Village Hall. Simply stated, I do not believe it's the job of our local government to endorse and promote any ideology, including the ideology behind the progress. Based on an article from the Wednesday Journal from 2019, that the village's current flagpole policy, which allows for commemorative flags to be flown in this manner, was written specifically for the purpose of being able to fly the pride flag. As was the case last year, after the planned flag-raising ceremony on there will be a parade followed by a party at the Lincoln School property. This event is being promoted through the Village of River Forest Township and through an email from the HR director at the village seeking volunteers. And all of this is elevation and promotion of an ideology. Quoting from the outdoor flagpole policy, I am in agreement with the first part. The Village of River Forest flagpole is not intended to serve as a forum discussion of the public, but rather for the display of federal, state, and village flags. I'd like to see the policy amended to end there. However, it continues to allow, quote, any commemorative flag as may be authorized by the village board as an expression of the village board's official sentiment. Since sentiments, agendas, ideas, and movements change rapidly, I am concerned about a lack of limiting principle. I understand that the board ultimately must give approval after any such request has been made by any particular board member. However, it seems extremely open-ended. Again, I believe that our flagpole should be reserved for federal, state, and village flags only. Spoken with others who share similar concerns, many are intimidated to call. Again, I'm requesting that you vote no on the raising of the pride.
Pat?
Can you ask for last names?
Pat is... Thank you. That's correct. Okay. Yes. Says, I am writing to request that the board vote no this evening on the topic of adding the progress flag to the village flagpole. I believe that the village flagpole exists for the purpose of federal, state, and village flags. Please vote no to using the flagpole for any other.
Mary Jane Oliver.
I'm Mary Jane Oliver. I've been over. I feel the flagpole should be served for the United States of America and for if we're trying to show inclusion, which is easy if we look at each other as human beings, treat each other as human beings, We don't need flag. Thank you for listening, and thank you for...
Okay, so John Beckbar?
Hi, I'm John Beckbar. I'm with the APALGA organization. If you're not familiar with APALGA, we're the Oak Park Area Lesbian and Gay Association. It was formed in 1989, and we actually have over 1,000 members, including over 40 households here in River Forest. There were a couple points raised earlier today, and I want to first thank all the speakers for representing their viewpoints. First one was a comment about which flag to use. So this is actually our poster that we're actually distributing to businesses. We did this last year in association with the Oak Park River Forest Chamber of Commerce. In fact, I have plenty of signs here. If anyone would like a sign for their home, they're complimentary. We also have yard signs and other things. We are using the progress flag. So the village request to use the progress flag is the flag that is acceptable by our community. And I would encourage everyone to consider this an acceptable flag to use. The second point that was kind of raised was, should this be elevated to the level of that of a governmental entity? I happen to also know, and I see Carla here as well, that the Township, River Forest Township, has approved a resolution in support of the month, and I would encourage the Board of Trustees to also do the same. I can't speak necessarily for what the proper etiquette is for the flagpole, but I can tell you, as a member of a marginalized community, we are not seen often. There are many attacks on our community. Last November, I had the honor to attend the District 90 school board meeting where someone had written into the school board complaining about the programs that were going to be offered to the youth there in the schools. And I was very happy that so many people, in fact, not a single speaker that evening spoke negatively about what the schools are doing here in our district. I moved to this community only 2 years ago, and I moved here because I felt this was a safe space. And I'd like to believe that the Village of River Forest is willing to take the steps necessary to make sure that it is a safe space. And this is a small step to have the flag, and so I would encourage you to include this in the resolution for the June 1st presentation.
Mariko? Oh, yeah, sure, of course. And Marika Panton?
Jonathan Panton. Well, I'm an American. We are all Americans. American flag is what binds us as one nation under God. Progress flag does not. The progress flag has been hijacked and is very divisive. I feel that it's a tool that has been used to force businesses and now here governments virtue signaling to avoid being canceled. I don't support that. I have no issues with private individuals owning a progress flag of their own and having it in their own lawns. Also, I think it is perfectly acceptable that the village has Pride Month to show acceptance of others. But I don't think that the idea of putting a progress flag on the same flagpole as the flags of our national government, state government, and local government gives the impression that one group of people are being somehow prioritized, and I think we need to say we're all citizens, we're all together. Also, my question is, where does this end? I mean, if we do this, will there be flags coming up for every month? I'm not sure how But I think there is some sort of issue with that continuing to occur. You know, I just think that overall, the board just does not have business allowing vice the flag to be held up on the same flagpole as the flags of our soldiers who gave their lives for the protecting the American flag.
Very well said. One of the things I was reading on the Progress Pride flag was some of the colors that are on there are baby colors. I'm a mother of three. These baby colors imply that homosexuals are either infantile or pedophiles. Okay, this is anything to do with children, I think, is unnecessary. Children are already getting confused what they're hearing on media, on Instagram, on TikTok, on all these things are confusing children. There's a high suicide rate. We don't need to encourage. We need to separate these issues and not promote it with a flag. And these colors that are, there's a blue and a pink. See on here on the phone, I looked it up. They're unnecessary. And a lot of the LGBTQ don't even like this flag. They actually are fine with the pride flag. And again, just echoing what my son Jonathan said is this flag should not be underneath the state, local government, federal government, our flag. We are all inclusive. We're all Americans. We're all one body. Let's feel that you're dividing when you start having separate flags. That means every month I expect to see a Greek flag up there for the Greeks that suffered under the occupation during World War II. I expect to see an Italian flag. Where does this end? I expect to see a flag of the Indians, reservations. I expect to see, we got to set limits. So to me, it's best to have focus on our U.S. flag. And if you want to do something, you know, for every country that has suffered every month, go for it. But you just can't limit it to one social group. Thank you. Ramo?
Hello, my name is Ramos Faulkner, and I use they, them pronouns. I am currently a freshman at OPRF. I'm going to be talking about why it's important for River Forest to have the Progress Pride flag raised. I am a gay and trans teenager in America, and that is something that is starting to be so scary. I am lucky to live in Illinois, a state that has protections for LGBTQ plus people, and I'm lucky that I have such supportive parents. But not all people are afforded those luxuries. It is crazy that parents loving their children unconditionally and that feeling supported by your government is a luxury, but now it is. It's not okay that I don't feel comfortable going to Florida with my grandparents because Florida lawmakers think that I am disgraceful, disgusting, and shameful, and wrong. That is not just Florida. It's Oklahoma, it's Montana, Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Tennessee, Kansas, and I could keep going. That is horrifying. While Illinois is a state that is safe for LGBTQ plus people and its legislator and generally progressive state, there are still people who carry hate with them. People who carry hate and spread misinformation to try to make people think that I am wrong, to make people think that my trans and queer siblings in our community are wrong, that children, teens, and adults across the country are fundamentally wrong just because of who they are and what gender they love. I state this all to say that the Pride flag is a symbol of love. It is also a celebration of identity. And now it is a symbol of safety. It is important for me, and I think it's fair to say it's important to you all on the board, that it's important for our community to feel safe and cared about. And raising the Progress Pride flag represents that for LGBTQ people in this community. That is why raising the Pride flag is so important, means so much to LGBTQ people. Thank you for your time. Remember to spread love, not hate. Yes.
Hello, my name is Ash Eckstein, and my pronouns are they, them. I live in River Forest and go to Lincoln School. I would like you to raise the prize, vote yes to raise the pride flag. Raising the pride flag is important because you are being an ally to the LGBTQ plus community. Having a supportive community helps kids like me to feel included and part of the community. So please vote yes to raising the pride flag. Thank you.
Megan?
Hi, my name is Megan Cascatello. I live in River Forest, and my pronouns are she, her. I'm the co-chair of the Lincoln Elementary Belongingness and Inclusion Committee, and I serve on the Village Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Advisory Group. My family and I love living in River Forest, and we have since the day we moved in. We love living in a kind, caring community that really thinks citizens matter, a community that's dedicated to its seniors, that knows sidewalks need grade changes to accommodate wheelchairs and fixes them, that respects the needs of the people who live here and truly listens to their voices, from traffic issues to what we're asking for tonight. My family and I want our community to continue showing this strong commitment to belongingness and inclusion by raising the Progress Pride flag at Village Hall. Last year, when I was planning the Inclusion and Pride Walk, our team expected 20 or 30 families to come. We didn't advertise much and we weren't sure what would happen. What happened was that more than 200 people of all ages came out to walk with us. What happened was an outpouring of kindness, community, and love. That desire to come out for each other remains in our community, and I urge you to vote yes to raise the Pride flag on June 1st and join the community, District 90, and the River Forest Township in celebrating the fact that River Forest is an inclusive place where everyone belongs. Please vote yes on raising the flag, and please join us on June 1st at 6 p.m. to raise the flag and walk together. Thank you.
Renee? Hi, Renee Duba. Hi again. Thank you again for taking the time to listen to public comment. I'm here to support the raising of the Pride flag and the walk on June 1st. And I'm in particularly in support of our gender dysphoric and transgender community members. I want to start by saying generally, there are only three groups of experts when it comes to gender dysphoria in children. Medical and mental health professionals that treat these children, the parents and family members of gender dysphoric children, and the transgender, gender fluid community members themselves. I'd also to acknowledge ancillary professionals, such as our educators, who have received training from and learning from these three groups of experts, so they can speak credibly on matters as it pertains to gender dysphoria in children, but that's it. Now, as a member of one of these expert groups, I'd like to share a few facts that will hopefully address some of the concerns that the flag raising or maybe the celebration you may have and may be inappropriate for our elementary and middle school children. First fact is no parent wants a gender dysphoric child. Nobody wishes for that. Even transgender kids ideally probably wish they weren't. It's not a choice. It's not an ideology. Transgenderism is not a thing. They don't have a choice. You may not know this, but gender dysphoria commonly manifests around the age of three. Three. So basically, as soon as a child is able to form the words to describe their distress. A vast majority of these children with gender dysphoria engage in self-harm, often while in elementary school. So, for example, they could start cutting themselves sometime in the third or fourth grade. They are filled with self-loathing and are struggling with the untenable situation of their reality versus what society is expecting from them. There's no such thing as rapid onset gender dysphoria. Gender dysphoria is not contagious. Homosexuality is not contagious. I have to say that. And then this is a really important part. point that I also can't believe I have to say to a very intelligent and educated community. Gender identity and sexual orientation are totally unrelated with each other. There's no relationship to it. And if you just use your common sense brain, if it was, all of us would either be heterosexual or all of us would be homosexual. I mean, it's not complicated. Please don't make that weird, icky leap with our children. Untreated gender dysphoria commonly leads to suicide attempts, and sadly, many are successful. Unless you're a member of one of these three groups of experts or affiliated professionals, you do not have any understanding at all about how to care for, support, diagnose, or treat children with gender dysphoria. I encourage you, however, to learn a little bit more from experts. For example, from Lurie's Children's Adolescent Development Program, not the internet. In this increasing era of hate, danger for this marginalized community, I applaud the Village of River Forest for their support in raising the flag in the upcoming walk. It's a small but important way to show children who may be struggling with their identities that this community loves and supports them. Along with Rainbow Club, I'm certain there's a kid or two who avoided self-harm because they had a welcoming group who could help them better understand and process what they were feeling. Please vote yes. Please keep up the good work.
Thank you, Renee. I think that concludes, unless Carla?
Okay, yeah, Carla Sloan.
Stuck outside behind
yeah, no
the wonderful crowd that was here for the festivities. That was beautiful. I'm Carla Sloan. I'm the supervisor at River Forest Township, and thank you for your attention. River Forest Township wholeheartedly supports the village's proposed Pride Proclamation, the action to raise and fly the Pride flag in honor of Pride Month this June, and the Pride Walk on June 1st. The township passed a similar Pride Proclamation at its May 16th meeting. As a first-time funder of the Lincoln Belonging and Inclusion Committee, under our Youth and Family Services grants, we are very excited to fund this organization. And as such, we are also a co-sponsor of the Pride Walk. And we really appreciate the effort of the organizers, particularly all of the PTO committees, that they've made toward raising awareness and acceptance of our LGBTQ community in River Forest. It's hard to quantify the impact of actions like this, but we feel that supporting these actions is a major step, or at least a first small step, toward creating a welcoming community for all and towards including those in our community who may not always feel like they belong. These actions by our taxing bodies are an important sign, especially to our youth, that we see and value them no matter who they are and what gender they are, sexual preference they are, who may not always feel like they belong. And we value them as an integral part of our community. So thank you to the trustees tonight for voting in support of the Pride Proclamation, for hosting the flag raising here at Village Hall, and to show unified support and acceptance for the LGBTQ community. Thank you.
That does conclude the citizens' comment, unless there's anybody that walked in late or decided they did want to talk. Okay. All right. Before we move on to elected official comments, just so there's clarification, the current resolution that's before the trustees tonight doesn't address a separate flagpole. It only addresses putting the flag on the current pole that we have. If we change any of that, that would have to then be at our next agenda item, which would be what the board would choose, which isn't until the end of June. So I just want to make sure that we set expectations for everybody. So, okay, with that, I will go ahead and go on with the elected official comments and announcements, and then Do you want to start?
Keep it brief, just in lieu of time. I had the opportunity to go to a fundraiser at Citrine in Oak Park, and it was for helping African-American youth in schools, and we had a lot of distinguished guests appear, and it was a wonderful event, and I was happy to be there. Other than that, I would just wish our lovely residents, let me first say I'm very thankful for all your comments, because that's what makes River Forest special. Diversity that we bring to the table, and that diversity of thought is very important, and I just truly appreciate that, and that's one of the reasons why I've lived here for 14 years, and I'm glad to hear that we're still going strong with our diversity thinking. And then just welcome everybody into the spring-summer period, and I'm hoping that you're enjoying our weather. That's all.
A couple of things. First, I wanted to congratulate Luke, who I believe graduated from NIU since our last Village Board meeting with a master's degree, our deputy clerk. So I wanted to just acknowledge that accomplishment. And then also wanted to thank Public Works for delivering the finished compost around the village. Those of us who have enrolled in the curbside composting program have the ability to receive finished compost twice a year, I think. Maybe just once a year. And they, I can personally attest that Public Works worked hard to deliver my compost. They kept reaching out to me. I was out of town. I wasn't available. I was out of town. They persisted, and I got it, and I'm very pleased. And it's really, you know, rich nutrient, rich soil. So I'm thrilled about that program, and anyone who would like to sign up for our curbside composting can also take advantage of that program. Is it still going? Do you still have more coming? I also wanted to ask our village administrator if he has invited the developers for the Lake and Lathrop project here to the village board meeting, because I always want to hear from them about the progress of that project. It's clearly behind. There's a deadline coming up that it will be impossible to meet, and it would be good to hear from them as to what their plans are and for them to hear our concerns and questions.
Yeah. I did have a conversation with some of the team over at Sedgwick and Lake and Lathrop to express those same thoughts and requested additional updates and expressed that the board would want to wants to hear from them. That has been shared with them.
I wanted to also mention that I attended this week a workshop on changing the conversation about growing older as part of the Senior Week in River Forest. It was very interesting. It was held at Concordia. I got this cool pin that has a pretty fun slogan, aging, so cool, everyone's doing it, because everyone in this room is aging. And the workshop had some good ideas about how to reframe the way we are perceived as we age and the benefits and accommodations that we offer to our aging population in River Forest. So I highly recommend participating in those events as they come around. And then finally, I noticed that Oak Park, since our last meeting, passed an ordinance limiting use on single-use plastics, similar to ours that we passed this past year. So that was neat that we're sort of in step with limiting single-use plastics. But I also noticed that Oak Parks went further, and it limited the use of polystyrene in restaurants after a certain time period, I think after 2024, for restaurants, and 2025 for smaller restaurants. And so I want to encourage us around this table to do the same thing here in River Forest. If Oak Park can do it with more restaurants and more diversity of restaurants, we should be able to do it too. And if those restaurants can find the vendors that support them to not be patronizing companies that make polystyrene and not putting our food on toxic polystyrene, then we should be able to do it too. So that's my request here for our village to do that as well.
Nothing new to add. Thanks. Okay. Yep. Okay. Good evening, everyone. I do want to start out by congratulating again our fire officers, department officers, as well as our police officers for their appointments today. Looking forward to working with all of you. And I also want to invite, and hopefully that everybody will be here for the Memorial Day Parade. It's usually a fantastic event, and so I'm looking forward to it. So I hope everybody else will join. So that's it.
Gillis?
Can you hear us, Trustee Gillis?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. So, yes, I want to basically also warmly welcome everybody to going to the Memorial Day Parade. The Village of River Forest Memorial Day Parade and Community Picnic is Monday, May 29th. And a big thank you to the River Forest Park District and the Kiwanis Club of River Forest and Oak Park for their tireless commitment to putting this event together. It truly takes a village, and it's really great to see volunteers come together and celebrate not only our veterans, but also, you know, put forth an event that brings the community together in such a positive way. Thank you.
Yeah, 9:30, and it starts right on Ashland, right by Bushup. Yeah. Get your newsletter, everyone, please, and our website. It's always posted there. Trustee Peckman?
Thanks. I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. Not too much to report. I do want to thank the comments of the public this evening and just touch on a couple of the items I heard. I think it's important to raise the progressive pride flag. Another celebratory or sentiments of the village board flag with the American flag and with our village and state flags. It shows our solidarity with those things that we find important enough to raise a flag for, and especially as a time and with the history of violence against the LGBTQIA plus community, and in particular trans folks. It's important to say that fully, that being with the American flag. I also take umbrage with the idea that the American flag is for Americans and somehow the pride flag and the progressive pride flag are not for Americans, and that U.S. soldiers fought for that flag. That includes the LGBTQIA community. And so it hurts when somebody says that, and it's as if that community is not part of the American people. I'd like to address the comment around baby colors. Nobody owns colors in this world. I know in particular pink, and I believe this is true for the trans community and why it's used. During World War II, and Hitler's occupation of Europe. They took queer folks and put them in camps. And at that time, red and pink were red was considered a color associated with men or males. Hitler used the color pink to demonize men who were gay. And so there was a patch on them that was pink for that reason. I believe that is one of the reasons why pink is used, because it involves taking that ownership back. I do think that we should use the progressive pride flag. And that is important for children in our community to see that we value them and see them, as Carla Sloan said. So often, people are just in fear because they don't know and they don't see it necessarily in the books they read, what's being taught in school, by community members, that being gay or queer is something that is a normal part of life. And so when they have those feelings, it scares them and can make them depressed and think that there's something wrong with them when there is not. I can say that honestly because that's the way I felt. At least by the age of 5, I understood that I was bisexual and pushed that down and didn't acknowledge it for a very long time for the reasons that I just said. So thank you again to everybody who spoke tonight in favor.
Welcome. Just a few things for me. I wanted to echo the trustees' sentiment on Memorial Day. That is our parade for our town. So please come out with your family and your friends and enjoy the parade. Praying for good weather, I'm sure we'll get it. But it is the best thing that happens to River Forest is that parade. So please come 9:30 starting at Augusta and Ashland. Ends at Keystone Park with free hot dogs and potato chips and water and drinks and a lot of fun for the kids and for the adults. And we're going to be honoring some really important men and women that served our country as part of the Memorial Day celebration. In fact, we have Item G is one of those honorees who served our country. So that's Memorial Day. Also, I attended the Pat Coco 45th anniversary of kind of celebrating seniors. It was a ton of fun. She's an awesome lady, and she has done awesome things, and I was happy to be part of her celebration. Carla was part of that as well. I am the chair of the age-friendly committee for the Mayor's Caucus, which is many towns, and all of us represent ourselves at the Mayor's Caucus around several issues, and one of them is age-friendly. So really I'm happy to chair that and actually be the founder of that committee. Also, I want to encourage everyone to attend Greentown. That's a wonderful event that will be happening at Triton College on June 22nd. Please mark your calendars. It's a forum that will invite young youth around environmental and climate change, and it's really a cool thing, as well as, of course, adults. So it's going to be some really great speakers and a lot of great events around climate change. So please mark your calendar for Greentown. And that's about all I have. So as we move on to the consent agenda, we can take item J off, or we can keep it on. I just want to make sure that we discuss the poll issue because because there were several residents that asked for it or at least consider it. So I will ask for a consent agenda. If you like to
Move A through.
I'd like to remove J from that.
Okay, very good. So then let's go A through I and then K.
So move.
Very good. Is there any questions regarding items A through I and K? Or some good stuff there. I'd ask the clerk to read out loud the items and then take the vote.
Consent agenda item A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, May 8th, 2023. B, Village Board of Trustee executive session minutes, May 8th, 2023. C, administration department report. D, right-of-way encroachment waiver and agreement for an irrigation system in the public right-of-way with the property owners at 1019 Franklin Avenue. E, right-of-way encroachment waiver and agreement for an irrigation system in the public right-of-way with the property owners at 1506 Forest. F, Lexapol Fire Department policy update agreement. G, Captain Fred Janish, Jr., honorary street designation resolution. H, Compost Week proclamation. I, Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month proclamation. K, Juneteenth resolution. Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Very good. I was just seeing if there are any family members. There doesn't seem any family members for for Fred. Okay.
Hold on.
Oh, on Zoom.
Yep.
We'll just see. We'd just like to.
They were on Zoom.
I saw somebody on Zoom.
Yeah.
Nope. Luke. Okay, speak. Okay, fair enough. Well, congratulations to the family. Okay, so let's move on to, let's get a motion and a second, and we can talk about item J. So, get a motion and a second, item J.
We approve consent agenda item J.
Second.
Okay. All right. So, I just want to clear up. So, right now, I think there's two issues, maybe three issues that I've heard. Regarding the flag raising was the poll. And again, I'll just be clear, there isn't a separate poll on this resolution this time. So if we were to talk about it, it would be on a separate item coming back to the board and approving that going forward. I think it would be important to have the trustees have time to think about it and talk to residents regarding a separate poll. I'm not saying it won't come back, just that it's not on the agenda tonight. I think that's the clarity that I want to give. So I'll leave that, and then I'll just open it up to the trustee.
Yes, I just have a question, and just for clarification purposes, because today I was hearing a number of the speakers refer to the pride flag versus the progressive flag, and basically my question is, what did we do last year? What flag did we put up?
We flew we raised the Progress Pride flag last year.
That was what we put last year. Okay. And there was any repercussions or comments? I don't recall.
Not that I remember.
I'm just trying to.
Okay. Minnie, this is the time for us to talk. So.
I want to know what
I have in front.
But the resolution reads the same as it does for this year, with the exception of the year and.
So I think maybe to just clarify, if we want to say the Progress Pride flag in this resolution, make it.
What is the?
I'll amend my motion for that.
Yeah, I mean, what is the difference between the rainbow and the Progress?
The Progress. I don't know if somebody else. The rainbow flag has the colors of the rainbow on it, and it was clear to the community several years ago that there needed to be identification and awareness of marginalized groups within the queer community, and that it was important enough to include the colors brown, black, pink, and blue to acknowledge the trans community and to acknowledge black and brown people within the queer community, so that we are reminded that they exist within the queer community, and that there are special and different things that they go through. It is generally accepted. You can look at most of the examples, I think, that I presented last year or the year before when we raised flags, probably last year, that many cities, towns, and villages.
I'll just say, I think raising the flag is consistent with our identity as a welcoming community to all.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I would say if there is any additional discussion on which flag should be raised, I think that it would take a longer period of time. And with regard to this specific June 1st celebration, I would be in favor of moving forward with what we have in the resolution. But open to discussions all year to at least have a discussion.
I was indirectly going to follow what Ken was saying, or Trustee Johnson was saying. I was going to ask, has there been any other requests for any other type of pride flag that we know of today?
There were a few emails to the village board today. The pride flag was used. I don't know if it was explicitly directed to be the what we know as the traditional pride flag, rainbow pride flag, but we did get requests that did mention the pride flag, the one that we raised last year. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to be the expert of the flags that are up. I just know there are multiple flags that are in existence. And so I'm not promoting one versus the other, but I am concerned about the issue that Trustee Johnson raised, which is if other people ask that their respective pride flag be raised, we may be running out of flagpoles, so to speak, or not have enough. So. And I'm not trying to push one versus the other, but it's not an issue right now.
Do you mean different pride flags for the queer community or different flags for different other?
No, I'm talking about pride flags for the LGBT community. I mean, at our college, we have at least a dozen or more.
I think that's up to this group, and we can make acknowledgments or not. I do think the progress pride flag encompasses most of the community.
And again, my earlier question is, were there requests for any other flag other than, I heard pride flag, the typical traditional, I'm not sure what the right word is, for the rainbow flag, but then I heard progress. So I don't see that issue. Before, I just wanted to make sure that was the case. So.
Question: is there any existing rules on what we can put on the flagpole?
Yeah, there's a policy.
There's
a current policy in place that in 2019 that says that any trustee can bring flag of the authority the board has to approve.
So, another flag that we put up is the. And that flag, we've put up the Ukrainian flag before.
Any other comments or questions? So then what I've heard, so here's what I'd like to ask the trustees before we take this vote. On these two issues, clarification, because we'll modify, it sounds like you want to modify the resolution to include rainbow progress pride, which is based in your vote, but Trustee Johnson would like to have more conversation about it. So why don't we couple the conversation along with having a separate poll that would tie the Illinois flag and the so that will come before us at another time. Right, but that would be the two. No opposition on that. We'll bring that forward.
So do I need to modify my?
Well, if you modified it, and whoever seconded it would have to agree to it. So this modification is.
It was modified.
I agree.
Yes. So, you agree. Okay. So right now, then it reads by the Progressive Pride Flag.
Progress Pride Flag.
Oh yeah, Progress. Excuse me.
Progress. The rainbow.
Thank you, correct. Katie. Progress Pride flag immediately below the River Forest flag on the village flagpole outside of village for a week period.
May we just add as done in 2022? Because I think we set precedent for the flag. And then again, I think there'll be subsequent conversations regarding what flag and what pole in the future.
You want to add as presented in 2022?
Yeah, with the language that specifically identifies that specific flag, I think Trustee Gillis was saying as was done in.
Oh, in two.
Correct. Thank you.
Are you guys okay with modifying it?
No.
I didn't understand it.
And I think the confusion is as was done in 2022. Lisa, are you referring to the actual flag
right.
or the resolution? Because the resolution
is wrong.
It refers to the pride flag. And then the progress flag was flown. What we're clarifying today is to avoid the confusion, progress flag will be consistent and modifying the resolution to reflect progress flag. Because it currently reads as pride.
I get that. What I'm saying is we are updating it to reflect the flag that will fly this year as well as the flag that flew last year. Like I'm trying to, I defer to you guys since it's very hard via Zoom, but I would defer to you guys in terms of the wording to basically just make it noted that it's the same flag that we flew last year.
And that's correct because as it's amended, the resolution now refers to the progress flag and that's what we flew last year.
So it appears different.
Yeah.
There is continuity.
So I'm fine with that amendment.
So we'll add then as flown in 2022? Okay.
Correct. That's what I'd like to see in it.
All right.
Okay. That works for me.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay. All right. So we got consensus on that. So, all right. So with those changes, then I'd ask the clerk to read item J and
Consent agenda item J, Pride, Progress Pride Flag Raising Resolution. Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
All right. So we'll move on now. We have no consent items, and we have we'll go on to 8 recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. A motion and a second, and we will then discuss the committee report.
Sure. I move to adopt the age-friendly river forest report.
Second.
Okay. All right. Do we have Jim here for?
And we do have Lydia Manning, we have Jim Flanagan, and I think I see Deborah Frederick. Yes. So we have at least 3 members here.
All right. Well, thank you, committee members and Rez. So,
sure.
Rez, I'll
sure.
you.
I'd like to at least start off with a few comments, and I believe Lydia is going to follow me with some additional comments. And, of course, I welcome Jim and Deborah to join in and any time during this discussion. First, I do want to thank and acknowledge our age-friendly committee members who are currently in alphabetical order, James Flanagan, Deborah Frederick, Helen Kwan, Daniel Lauber, Lydia Manning, Barbara Morrell, and myself. But I also do want to acknowledge two former members who were working on this committee early on, Chris Hari, and then more a little sentimental for my part, Ron Sherman, who passed away, and our committee unanimously agreed to dedicate this report in his honor. He did a lot of efforts, not only on the Age Friendly Committee, but throughout River Forest. And I think there's more to come, maybe at the next board meeting and acknowledging him. So I thank the committee for that. But I also want to acknowledge our village staff who worked on this report throughout the time. In reverse chronological order, we have Matt Walsh. Prior to him, we had Elijah Babora. And not too long ago before that, we had Sarah Pfeiffer. So I did want to acknowledge their work and participation in putting this together as well. So for today, I know you have the report and that was submitted as part of the board packet. In addition, though, I do want to apologize in the hurry of trying to put this report together. And it was done piecemeal. Our seven committee members took portions of it and revised it. We've had numerous conversations about how we should put it together, but also the content of that. So with that, we're going to be talking to you today about the actual survey process, the results we received from the survey, and then, of course, the report that's before you. And it was approved unanimously, except Barbara Morrell, who was not able to attend the last meeting when it was approved. But she did have some parts and contributions toward that report. The next steps, too, we're going to talk to you about our recommendations. And again, what I wanted to stress to the Village Board is that these are our committee's report in terms of guidance. It was a result of the assessment that we made as part of the survey, and I want to keep that in mind. And so a little of the background in putting the report you're going to see on page 16, our River Forest demographics, we pulled a lot of the information from the census from 2021. I don't propose to read that all to you. It is in the report that you will see regarding the population, median age, median monthly cost of the mortgage, et cetera. So there was financial information as well as demographic information of our seniors in River Forest. I wanted to stress that the report was really based on AARP's the Network of Livable Communities, if you may recall, well, I shouldn't say you may recall, our committee may recall, and Kathy, you may recall that there were eight domains of livability that we based this report on. They were focused on social participation, housing, outdoor spaces and buildings, transportation, communication and information, health services, respect and social inclusion, civic participation and employment. Other areas that AARP were looking at is the emergency preparedness, elder abuse, public safety, dementia-friendly, of which our village is proud to be dementia-friendly recognized. But what led us now to this report was that in November 2019, the Village of River Forest became a member of the AARP Network of Age-Friendly States and Communities. As part of that application process with AARP, one of the steps was to conduct a baseline assessment of existing age friendliness in River Forest by surveying members of the community. And then from the results of that survey, to come up with an action plan, sort of recommendation to the Board of Trustees to adopt and then to submit to AARP. This was a process that we have been following and other municipalities follow in terms of getting for the AARP age-friendly designation. And so we started that process. We are still in the middle of the process, and we will continue that process. We are not done yet, even with this report. But I did want to stress that the purpose of this report was to really detail the community assessments, the needs of our residents in River Forest, our seniors in River Forest, and the results of the what their needs are. We are also, the report is to propose to the village an action and evaluation plan for the village to consider adopting and submitting to AARP. When I say adopting, it is, again, a guideline for the village board to look at, to adopt, and to consider, but it doesn't necessarily tie specifics to it other than guiding principles of what we are recommending, because there are certain issues, details, for example, budgeting, costs, et cetera, that we don't have control over. Obviously, the village board does. So what we basically are taking is the data that we received from our residents and reporting what that data is as part of our report to you. And more importantly, what our seniors say they need or don't need as part of these AARP domains. And so that is what we are submitting to the Village Board today. And would like to talk a little bit about that. We will plan to also provide some guiding recommendations for the Village Board for their consideration. And we will do that later on in this presentation. I wanted to reiterate, on February 24 of 2020, this board created the ad hoc committee, and it gave us four or five charges that we were supposed to do. One of them was to conduct a baseline assessment of the age friendliness of the village. Two was to research and discuss the new normal for age-friendly communities amid COVID-19 and other factors stemming from this pandemic, which added a lot more challenges for us during this process, because it wasn't a typical survey you could release generally, because we had to work with trying to reach out to our residents to see if we can reach them during that challenging time when they were pretty much afraid. And we were all afraid of any contact, direct contact with each other. So we had to deal with how we're going to reach out and talk to our seniors during this pandemic. We also were charged to evaluate and prepare a plan based on the AARP and other organizational approaches to age-friendly community. Also, the fourth charge was to review and present the plan to the village board and the village president for endorsement and consideration, which we will be doing tonight. And the last item or charge was to present the final plan to the village board and village president to adopt by a majority vote an age-friendly plan that we will integrate with our municipal code for implementation of the plan. The actual board resolution that created the ad hoc committee is Appendix B of our report, so you don't have to really search through our website to find it. One of the other things in terms of our survey responses, briefly in terms of the distribution and collection, a random selection was used to recruit respondents for a community survey. We used the voter registration to capture a representative sample of people over the age of 55 in the village of River Forest and randomly throughout the village to be able to get a good sample. 335 surveys were distributed to the random sample. 17 were returned undeliverable. 201 surveys were completed and returned to us, establishing a response rate of 63.2%. I was told that if we get a response rate of 30% or above, that's good. Actually, we doubled that 30%. So I would say it's more than good. And for the interests of characteristics of our the demographics in our residents, we have also in our report a chart of the demographic characteristics in terms of age, gender, race. We also have the number of respondents that fit in each of the categories, the percentage of respondents that respond that fit based on the number of responses that we have. I don't need to go through it in detail right now since it's in the report for you. Finally, and finally from my side of the presentation, Lydia is still going to continue. The analysis, how we approach the analysis of it is when we received all of the responses, we did we had a discussion on the scientific valuing or weighing of how these responses came in. And remember, they were the responses were strongly agree, disagree, not applicable, and then neutral. And those were the categories. And we wanted to come up with, before we even started looking at the actual responses, we wanted to come up with objective criteria on how we were going to weigh and look at these responses. So in terms of the committee's discussion, we came up with the following. We percentages and weighing what the responses were. We basically created what I like to refer to as concern ratings. And by that I mean is that if there were less than 20% in terms of response and the response, we rated those as no concern. If there was a 20 to 30% in terms of the amount of the response, we then rated it as low concern. When it was 30 to 40%, we rated it as a moderate concern. And anything greater than 40%, we considered it a high concern. So then we came up with these categories so that basically then our committee focused on the items of significance emerging from those survey results based on these categories. And with that, we did come up with our findings, outcomes, and recommendations. And so at this time, I'd like to turn it over to Lydia Manning to go into more detail on that.
Thank you, Chairman Vasquez. I would like to first start out by thanking everyone for the opportunity. It's been an honor and a pleasure to serve on this ad hoc committee. I will go through our recommendations. You have the report in front of you, so I won't belabor them in the interest of time, but I would also invite committee members Flanagan and Frederick, also Chairman Vasquez, to jump in, hop in if there's anything that you would like me to elaborate on as I'm moving through these. I also want to say, given my expertise in the field of gerontology, I've been living in these communities now for almost a decade, meaning River Forest and Oak Park and actually Forest Park. Controlling on average and for most all variables, I will tell you that we live in very age-friendly communities. I have said it on the public record and in passing to friends, colleagues, and neighbors that I think our communities are gerontological gems. The woman who just spoke in the public comments talking about the event she attended through the Celebrating Seniors Coalition Week about reframing aging, I think is just one instance that we're doing good work and we're advocating for older adults and it's working. Okay, so I'm going to go through the recommendations on what we feel is a cogent report and where we think we have room for improvement, given that I think on average we're pretty age friendly. And I will say, so the domains that are presented in their framework, right? We combined some of them and elaborated on a few, technology being one of them, and I'll explain it in a minute. But here are our domains and our recommendations according to those domains. So for social participation, we recommend the village consider figuring out ways to create additional opportunities for more expansive community engagement for older adults. We do have Celebrating Seniors Coalition. The month of May is Older Americans Month. I know that the township does Celebrating Seniors all year long, we're asking the village to think about ways, again, to consider no-cost events for older adults that they can participate in year-round, and then also improving communication about those events. We also think, given the prevalence and the of ageism and how ubiquitous it is, that we be mindful and intentional about ways to create intergenerational social opportunities. So does perhaps that looks like working with relevant village departments to do programming at the libraries, at the park district, other organizations where we can be very mindful about bringing youth and elders together in a meaningful way. And we want to encourage the village to continue to collaborate with Township Senior Services to create programming, potentially to decrease social isolation. Perhaps that looks like a daily call check-in log, or ways to bring older adults, if they're interested, into an opportunity where they can be matched with friendly visitors or have a companion program that the village sets up and endorses. In terms of technology, technology is not necessarily its own domain in the ARP age-friendly framework. Given our research on the age-friendly movement and how it has changed significantly in the last several years, people are arguing that technology should be its own domain. And having said that, we recommend the village continuing to promote and work with other public institutions, such as the library, to make sure that everybody has access to the technology they need, particularly Wi-Fi. I know we have village hotspots, but perhaps there's a way that, you know, we can continue to make sure that there isn't a digital divide, and that older adults are getting the information and the supports they need to optimize their technology usage. In terms of respect and inclusion, and we've heard a little bit about it here tonight in the previous discussion, I would add that people who are members of marginal populations are aging as well. And so what do we need to do to think about inclusivity? I do think it would behoove the village to be very intentional about an anti-ageism campaign. There's been a lot of public discourse nationally about the negative consequences, both physically, emotionally, mentally, for people who experience ageism. And so we would encourage the village to be mindful about doing what they can to bolster the positive beliefs about aging and dispel and combat negative beliefs in ageism. We want to make sure that we're adequately representing all interests of all people, all abilities, all ages. And so we think we probably need to do a better job of gathering more data from underrepresented groups. I think there's a room for age-friendly to be partnering with the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Advisory Group, again, to understand the intersectionality, if you will, of age and various other identities and experiences. And again, I think there's more work that the village could be doing to incorporate intergenerational and multicultural factors and how they go about doing governmental activities and how those relate to aging. In terms of civic and social involvement and volunteer opportunities, we're recommending the village consider creating and maintaining an opportunity directory for people interested in volunteering. Our survey did yield, an interest in people wanting more knowledge or more information about ways that they could be engaged or ways that they could volunteer. And so we thought, is there a way that the village could potentially partner with the chamber, where we could do some sort of matching for opportunities and then people who would want to fill those opportunities to be able to feel like they're giving back and being purposeful and meaningful. We think the village should consider creating an older adult advisory committee for all village activities and new initiatives. So perhaps it's a group of sages. I don't know what the naming would be, but again, an advisory committee compiled of older adults themselves, making sure that things are feeling age friendly in terms of village business activities and supports. We think that it would behoove the village to actively involve older adults in the village's legislative and planning processes. Always with the mind's eye of what it would mean to have an aging perspective or an aging lens at the table as we're thinking about codes, plans, policies, ordinances that the village adopts or implements. And then, of course, communications and about opportunities for engagement for people. That leads me to the next domain of communication and information. We've talked about this in various settings. We talked about it often in our committee work. I think it's always a struggle. We know that we have great programming for older adults. We have wonderful services. It's always been, how do you market that and how do you get that information out to people who need it? Part of it is that people don't necessarily think about township related or village related services as importance for aging until sometimes they're in crisis. So how do we do a better job of communicating the rich variety of resources, supports, and opportunities that exist in this village? Does that look like public mailings? I know that we have e-newsletters. Without doubt, some people just aren't receiving that information. And so what can we do to make sure people are getting it? We discussed also, in terms of communication and information, the idea of creating an age-friendly checklist, or for lack of a better term, an age-friendly rubric that the village could use in all of their decision-making, planning, their communication, making sure that they're not being, that the village isn't being unintentionally ageist, and that we really have a mind's eye in terms of what we're doing in terms of age-friendly. And then again, how do we increase the awareness of existing resources? Is that a mailer? Does it go out with the electric or water bills? I'm not sure, but we do need to figure out how to continue to communicate the information that exists for people. Community support and services for older adults. Again, increase awareness of existing resources that support older adults as they age in place in their homes and in their community. We are offering the recommendation, the village perhaps thinks about creating a speakers bureau to provide information about older adult services, or that we can create additional materials that can be shared, or that there's actually a special e-blast that goes out specifically related to aging from the village. So those are possible recommendations to consider. Outdoor spaces and buildings. There were some interesting findings that emerged from the survey about the need for better lighting. We recommend that the village, talking with other committees or other working bodies, I know the Traffic and Safety Commission addressed these issues, but we recommend providing better lighting that's confined to the streets and the sidewalks. Again, for people to navigate not only on foot, but also by car. And so, how could we partner with the Traffic and Safety Commission to address a lighting initiative? There was discussion to the survey results yielded that people were sometimes concerned about continuing to improve sidewalk conditions to ensure accessibility and safety. I know that there's been some work done in that area, and we would just encourage the village to continue doing that work. Incorporating into its capital improvements, sidewalk and curb repair to ensure safety. And another interesting finding, and I think this is something that we can address without a ton of work, but people do walk. And I think during COVID, we all witnessed it. People seeing people out on the streets, moving about in ways that we hadn't been. People who responded, the survey respondents did express for our survey population, people wanted more places to rest. They wanted more places to sit. And so we're recommending that the village consider implementing a bench installation program. And perhaps that can be a fundraising mechanism, a rest a minute program. I'm not sure, but perhaps people can purchase benches in memoriam of those they've lost and loved, or of different causes, decorate them in different ways. Perhaps that can be an intergenerational activity. But people did express wanting to have more benches to rest, and perhaps those can be strategically placed with a map, and it can be, something that brings people together in a meaningful way. Access to transportation. We're recommending the village maximize awareness and use of existing transportation and mobility options for our residents. So again, how do we communicate that availability of buses and cars? What are the CTA fixed routes? How do we make sure that our L stops and our Metro stops are all ability, all age friendly? I think there is some work to do there. So we're recommending to ensure that transportation platforms are accessible. In terms of housing and finances, and I will pause to say that that we did not conduct a housing affordability study. This was an age-friendly study. But we are recommending that the village continue to explore, facilitate, create, and sustain a continuum of housing options. I think more data need to be collected. There needs to be a deeper dive into housing as it relates to aging for village residents. But I do think we need to be mindful about the variety of housing types that we consider for both people who rent and own and how affordable it is in the village. I also think that the committee thinks and the survey yields that we do a better job of examining and revising the village's existing building and zoning codes and what those administrative processes look like through an age-friendly lens. I've had my own experiences. I've listened to various other presentations from other homeowners to be able to engage in age-friendly design of existing properties and new development is a challenge in the village. And I think that the Zoning Board of Appeals could adopt and implement some sort of age-friendly rubric or checklist to make those necessary changes not so difficult for people. And that's all we have in terms of our recommendations. I'm happy to answer any questions or again, Chairman Vasquez, committee members Flanagan and Frederick, feel free to add to any of my recommendations or comments.
So I'm not calling on you, Jim, but if you have any comments, Jim or Deborah, if you don't, that's fine too. I just want to acknowledge you. Jim, can I ask you to step up to the podium since it's the microphone?
Sure. I think just to reiterate what Dr. Manning said is that important to remember that age-friendly means all ability-friendly. You know, if a door is wide, it's wide for everyone of all ages to get through. Making modifications to make it easier for people of all abilities is important. This focus on age is obviously important to us from the lens that we come to this table to as gerontologists, but I think that's one important caveat. Really important to know that I think the village has done a really good job. It'd be wonderful to get up here and say that we've got some really powerful, amazing results that we wanted to share that nobody knew about, but that's not the case. I think the village has been working really hard for a long time to be inclusive and to be mindful of these things. So, you know, if you had to boil it down to a handful of things, it goes to communication, the digital print divide, the natural process of aging. We've got great resources. We need to be better about getting that message out. We need to think about our housing and the ability of the people to live in the community the way that they want to. And then we need to think about other initiatives around inclusion and social participation. And that's really not that tall of an order. So I think I like the idea of a bench program. I think that really could bring people together. I think it could be a possibility for, you know, non-public dollars, but private dollars would come into that space as well. So thank you all for your patience. Yes, it has been 3 years that we've been working on this report. But it is done and it is current. So thank you all.
Thank you, Jim. Go ahead.
No,
I was just going to final tone is that, yes, it took long. But again, it was during we put this together right before COVID and then COVID hit. So the first part was trying to reach out to people and how we were going to do that. If you may recall, even it took a few months when Helen Kwan was spearheading the assistance to our residents to go out there and coordinating that effort, which obviously took priority, and I can acknowledge that. But I do want to echo also the fact that what Jim had indicated is that we are not saying everything's done, we're all happy, we have nothing to do. We're not saying that at all. We were just happy that we weren't, we were doing much better than what we anticipated. But there's still room for improvement. I think everyone in the committee understands that and recognizes that. But there have been some things we have done. I mean, for example, I know technology is not a one of the domains at this point, but we did tie it into communication information when we talk about the digital divide. We're happy to hear that a lot of our 96% of our seniors have internet and they actually use technology. That is a plus for us to reach out in terms of taking advantage of that to get information out to them. We do understand, I know, Kathy, you've been sending out printed hard copy copies of our newsletters out to condominiums where a lot of our seniors do, and they get the actual hard copy. Some people want that. I acknowledge that. So it's those type of efforts we're already doing. The sidewalk repair, we already have a program that Jeff Spears heads every year, so that's good. But there's, again, the benching, the bench installation of a bench program, the street lighting is still something we can look at. So and I know we're exploring some possible, or at least open to the idea of looking at our building codes and seeing how we can amend that, just not just for our seniors, but for a number of other reasons as well. So, you know, that's where we're going. And again, this is not a final document in terms of we're just putting it on the shelf now. It is something that we're recommending, to, something we can start off with and then continue working. I know one of the next steps, and not jumping ahead of this board, but one of the next steps is I've been asked for copies of this report. So once the boards, I'm being optimistic, once this board approves the document, I am going to be sharing it with a number of entities who asked. I know River Forest Township, Oak Park Township, has asked for copies of it. I'm sure when we have been meeting with our regional villages, too, on neighborhood issues regarding senior issues, we're going to be sharing that with them, too. I know the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus on Age Friendly Collaborative will probably be another entity we can share this document to, and there's a number of municipalities that will be happy to look at this as a sample that we've done. And frankly, I'm very proud of the work that we did here because it's not just a simple, if you look at Appendix C, you're going to see the actual response drafts that are basically graphed. We did more than that. We as in the committee, not we as in REST. We as in the committee put this together. We looked at the results. We looked at some very complicated data analysis that the committee put together, and I am happy to say that we are gifted in River Forest, that we have a number of individuals in Jim, Lydia, Barbara Morrell, too. She had some experience in surveys, as well as Dan Lauber. His was more towards the housing area. But so we had some very good individuals on this room, and I'm going to thank Helen and Deb because they were the grounded individuals that brought us down to say, hey, what are you talking about? How are you doing? But this is now, you know, how they can relate to our seniors, and they grounded us. So thank you, Deb, for that. So it was a great committee. So I'm very proud of the committee, and I'm very proud of the report that we are presenting to you. And now with that, we'll open it up for any questions and that you may have or comments.
Anybody have any questions or comments for committee?
I would say I think it's always good. There's, you know, we know that this community is very supportive, but you always kind of need a roadmap sometimes, and it helps refine some of the things and you know, chart out ways that we can actually be more expansive in our help. And I think you guys did a great job, and I think you need to be commended on that.
I would like to echo and just thank the committee for all their work throughout the past couple of years, and to you, your leadership there. I did receive an updated report today late, and I haven't had a chance to read it. When I look at it on my phone, I can't see that.
Okay.
So one of my questions before I got that was, I know as a part of accreditation and grant writing and, you know, reporting to a template, sometimes you can be repetitive in a report, or you need to have a lot of detail within it that can make it less clear, unless you are like someone professional or higher ed or whatever reviewing it. And I'm wondering if that was the case here. Like, do we need to have this report in that format? Otherwise, barring what the edits were, because I don't know what those edits were, I think it would be wonderful to have somebody like our communications and marketing consultants go through it and maybe tighten it up a little bit, maybe even provide a one or two page the different actions and recommendations. I do think it's important to have that readability in a report, especially for the AG community.
If I can respond, a couple comments. In terms of the revisions that were sent out, we made grammatical changes, but no substantive changes. And you probably, I learned the hard way too. I guess I know I'm over 60 now because some of these technology issues I run into and I've learned with some of my younger colleagues like Matt Walsh and Sarah Pfeiffer, Elijah, they would always say, Russ, you got to click here. And the clicking is there's a way in the Word version you can click where you can show all the markups. And there's a click there too where you say where no markups, but then it gives you like a clean version of the document. And that's probably, I know when I first opened it, I didn't see any changes either, but it's because of that. So in terms of your second suggestion is we did try, that was one of the things that we tried, and we, it was a challenge for our committee in terms of we have the people who are the experts in surveys and how they talk in their jargon. But then we had three people, and I would consider being one of the three, and I always said this to Deb, Helen, and myself included, we are the human beings that are walking around the streets that probably need to have that version of the report that we can understand. And so we try to strike a balance of that. And that's one of the reasons why we included the Appendix C, which is the actual graph version. So if you see the questions and the answers by the color at the end, and the reason we thought we include that is because I've seen where other municipalities, that's the report they give you. They don't have any other findings. They just say, this is the responses we got, and then they just take it from there. We did a lot more than that, but that version is in the back as an appendix if you just want to look at the responses for each of the questions in terms of graphing it. But we did also try to put an executive summary, a short cheat sheet, but I do welcome your idea of having somebody else, if in terms of communication, if we want to put like a real quick cheat sheet, so to speak. But I would say that I would like the committee to look at that before it gets released. So and yeah, just so we're on.
Sounds like an outcome of
this
report.
That's why I was considering possibly a next step. For the recommendations and the items that you reviewed tonight and that are in the report, would you still consider those under the aging group advisory? Like, did they take ownership, continue to have ownership of it and continue to specify, or is this now given to our village to create ownership of the different ideas? And the village would have the discussions with the different entities that might be included, like the park district?
Yes.
Or whoever.
The answer to that is yes. This report is given now to the village board with the guidance that and the recommendations we have. Now it's going to be up to this board to decide what our next steps would be. And so it's up to us now, meaning the board. Not to say that if we have questions for Jim or Lydia in the future as we go along, I'm sure they'd be, and the rest of the committee, I'm sure they'd be happy to participate. Or if there's certain questions that come out and this board decides we want to send it to the committee for further consideration on possible actions in the future, I'm sure my colleagues here would be more than happy to help. So,
okay, so of course.
Correct. Is once we turn this over and we adopt it, it'll be turned over to us staff. And the staff too. Poor man. Yeah, but yes, it would. Lydia, I'm sorry.
No, I do think it too, and I'm sorry, I can't see the room, and I don't know who asked the question about redundancy, the format. The style of writing. I think a question that really the board needs to consider, and I alluded to it a little bit when we were talking about the recommendations. The age-friendly movement, ARP's age-friendly movement has changed over the last several years. And I think a question the village we need to consider, do we move forward and actually submit this proposal to ARP for approval, the implementation plan, the evaluation plan? It is an extensive process. A lot of other villages and a lot of other cities in the country have actually hired staff to oversee their ARP age-friendly initiative, because that's the kind of level of detail and budgeting that it takes to execute this. And so I think that that's a conversation that the board needs to have and consider. If so, this format and the level of repetition and redundancy is very much conventional to what ARP is looking for. If it's a report that we keep in the village per se, and we use it internally, and we go about operating in our own age-friendly manner, which we're already doing, where we're further refining and improving, I think the format can change and it can be streamlined and it can be put into a more easily digestible document. So I think that's something that the board needs to consider.
It sounds like part of that work is already going to have to be done in terms of prioritizing which items to consider first, mm-hmm. what is medium term, long term.
If I can just connect the dots a little.
Okay, ahead, and I was just saying one more time. That when it comes to these recommendations, you don't have to do them all at the same time, and you can do them at different times, and different municipalities do things depending on the house. I almost use the word convenient, but it's more strategic in terms of it. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, with all of the recommendations we are making, if an opportune time comes, like when the building zoning codes are being considered, whatever, that's probably a good time to look at these recommendations. If we're talking about, you know, planning on what infrastructure changes we are going to make, lighting or the benches, so to speak, I guess that's not so much interstructural, but we can start talking about that at the same time at different levels. So, but we also understand that obviously the village has a budget and will have a budget. So that's going to be part of the consideration as well. So, so all of that gets put into play, but still up to the village board and how it's going to implement it. So, and go ahead, Kim.
Yeah, no, just to add on to a lot of what you've said, I mean, to connect the dots. I mean, first of all, I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah. I think there needs to be some Matt will determine who that is, and then he'll also help us, along with Rosie, determine what the cost is. So, and then we together will determine whether that makes sense for us. But I think my opinion is thank you, Dr. Manning, Mr. Flanagan, all the other committee members that are here but did not speak, and of course, Trustee Vasquez, for all of his hard work on this report. It has been a labor of love, I could tell. So I thank you, and I agree with you. It is a cogent report, and there's a lot in here, and I could see where we are doing many of these things, but we have to connect the dots to the township, Carla, with services and things that, you know, we see. I know that we can make that work. To the park district, I see that working. And to the library, mm-hmm. With technology, I see that working. I mean, we already have a collaboration committee that we could, mm-hmm. with the COGS get together, the committee of units of government get together on a quarterly basis, but we already have a collaboration committee that we can restart. And this would be one of the items that we probably should focus on, since it will touch many of those units of government. Right. So I see this as a really great report in many ways. I mean, it speaks volumes to, one, where we're at today, mm-hmm. and some of the things that we need to do, and some of the things that we're already doing in transportation and zoning, right. looking at adopting e-friendly. Those are ongoing conversations currently. So,
Kathy, not to interrupt you, but one thing I don't want to leave out are the school districts.
Yeah,
I know they have intergenerational programs as well with our seniors. So I think that would be, if we can enhance that, that'd be another another activity we can focus on as well.
Yeah, they're part of the
right.
We remember River Forest happenings. We came with a community calendar that we continue to use. People actually use it still. That came from the collaboration committee that they really worked hard at creating a community calendar, because that was kind of one of the things that we heard our community want. There's no reason why these subject matters or these items here can't be also raised at that collaboration, along with it includes the school.
Sure.
Residents.
Okay.
So, I think there's a lot here. I took a lot of notes, but I think there's nothing here that we're not already looking at.
The one other item, I have another question that sure. you'll say yes to, but the one other item that I would just express is there are places where we acknowledge that we have a very good, excellent transportation system in River Forest, and it's wonderful to hear that, but I would want there for these different buckets, the AARP, for us to continue to look. So we may have a very good system right now. Is there more that we could be doing, you know, like at the bus stops, having coverings for folks, that kind of thing. So not to stall on topics that we say we are good at already, because there may be further areas for improvement. We may not capture those if we...
No, and if that wasn't clear, I will clear it. Yes, this is just a preliminary, like we said, guide, but there's more things that we can do. So, yes, the answer to that is yes.
Okay. And then I'm assuming that you continue to hold the data for the survey, and that we can place that different ways if we need to. So if we wanted to see what the BIPOC community, you know, faces in these different ways or in other ways that.
I will say we have the data, but pay careful attention to the response rate and the demographics of the survey respondents.
Yeah, so, I did notice.
Yeah, I mean, we did a randomized sample and we had a wonderful response rate. We did an oversample for underrepresented populations, just given them, you know, some of it was our skill sets and to create a weighted sample is a whole nother survey technique. So again, I think with all good research, we have our data and we can use it. I would caution the village to not speak beyond the data that we have, but perhaps use the survey as a tool for figuring out what additional questions the village needs to ask and what additional surveying from respondents that needs to be done.
So let me ask a question maybe to the committee. From this report and all of the action items, or you know, what are we going to work with ARP then to go after ARP certification for?
I mean,
I know you said it's a lot.
Yeah.
4 years ago, I would have had a different response. But I mean, we've talked about it in our, and I don't know how the mayoral caucus is talking about it, but I feel like in some ways ARP has moved into a place where they're not as supportive of these designations and these developments. It's changed. And ARP is, I mean, they've rebranded in some ways. And so part of me, and again, I would look to other committee members in the room, Chairman Vasquez. There's a part of me that thinks, is our energies and our time better spent implementing our plan and doing what we're already doing and figuring out how to make improvements and be content with the ARP designation that we've already been granted without jumping in and executing the entire age-friendly ARP plan and following their evaluation process and doing their three-year reports? I don't know. I mean, I could be convinced that it is important. I could also be convinced that we're doing a great job. And if we can continue doing what we're doing well and recognize our improvements and hold ourselves to our own standards.
Right. I don't know. I was going to say, and just to interpret what Lydia, and I know Kathy and I have run into this, ARP has changed a little bit. They had this process. They would work with you in terms of these designations. And I would say probably during the, one key person who retired from ARP was a big change, Terry Warman. And then the pandemic didn't help. And so ARP, my words, nobody else's, is turning more like a resource. They'll put documents they used to have. They are there. They give you articles, whatever, but they're not participatory or don't appear, not yet. We're going to have a couple of follow-up meetings with ARP to see if we can get them back to where they used to be, where they would sit down with you and say, okay, this is now your needs assessment, your plan. Let's look at it. They would recommend maybe doing some additional follow-up, maybe some town hall meetings or something to follow up and keep this process moving forward so we can work on items that we're already recommending, possibly think of other items to look at. But they would be working with you in terms of getting you to the point of being an age-friendly community based on ARP's designation. But we're seeing a lull there. We're seeing a lull. And so we're going to, I know Kathy and I have been setting up a meeting with MMC and the ARP representatives to see more on the national level, what are you doing? Are you really going to like abandon this? Are you just going to be a digital bookshelf or what?
Welcome to come, Lydia.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so we're going to have that conversation. But in the meantime, though, what I did stress in our committee, we talked about it, is if ARP is slowing down, delaying, we need to keep doing what we're doing here for River Forest and working with our neighboring villages and trying to help a number of our residents. And like I said, I want to stress what Jim said, too. And I think, Erica, you and I talked about it. When we're helping disabled individuals, when we're helping seniors, it's not just them. Everybody else is benefited by whatever improvements we make, too. So that's, we're going to continue doing that. Yes,
sure, Jim. To that event, and we early on, our committee had Brad Winnick, he's an architect and he's an internationally recognized expert on age friendly. And he said early on, he said, "Be careful what you wish for. You can do a lot of good, but you can also spend a lot of time spinning your wheels. Mm-hmm. And what does the village gain by getting the
Our townships are, anybody who's been asking for this report, I wanted to show them exactly what we have. I know Carla has asked me if I can have the actual report, and then Betsy has as well. So usually the people who actually live and breathe this almost every day or probably can understand this report much easier than those of us who do not breathe and live this every day. So, but I do agree with you that if you're going to come out with something that's a little more user-friendly, so to speak, we can work on it. But at least we have this to give you.
The other thing I wanted to share, and you're the experts, you know, I'm sure you know all of this, but with if AARP is stepping back, there's plenty of other national entities that are available. The one that hosted the event that I went to was the National Center to Reframe Aging. They came in from D.C. to lead the workshop, and they're with the Gerontology Society of America. So I know there's...
There's others as well. Yes, yeah, correct. And then, and that's assuming you still want to, meaning if this board wants to pursue both, whether it's AARP or this other organization. But then we can continue. I mean, if this board says, you know what, let's focus on River Forest and what we're doing, we can do that too. And it sounds like that's what
All right, well, good. Any other comments for the committee? Okay, hearing none, I would again say it passes. There's a lot of good stuff in here. Thank you.
Excuse me, Trustee Vasquez?
Yes, absolutely.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes. All right, very good. And congratulations, committee members, and Trustee Vasquez for a wonderful report. I know it's been a long, hard road, and so thank you for all your volunteer time and energy. And more to come, for sure. So thank you. All right, with that, I'll need a motion going to executive session. So,
do we need a vote?
Oh, yeah, do we vote?
Oh, you did?
You got
okay. I'm so excited in the moment.
Motion to enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120 /2C11 to discuss pending litigation, and the village board will adjourn after executive session and will not return to session.
Second.
Trustee Brennan.
Thank you.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
All right. Take a couple minutes.